Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a subweight edit, where a clean bass line turns into a distorted DNB weapon from scratch. The goal here is not just to make the bass dirtier, the goal is to design a moment of impact. We're going to take a bass phrase that already has low-end authority, then use automation, resampling, saturation, filtering, and arrangement thinking to make the transition feel controlled, dangerous, and properly club-ready. If you've ever heard a DNB tune where the bass line suddenly mutates at the end of a phrase and just smacks the room, that's the kind of energy we're after. Think phrase boundary, think turn, think impact. This usually works best at the end of an 8-bar or 16-bar section, or right before a drop switch-up. It can also work mid-drop as a variation, especially in rollers, darker halftime sections, neuro-leaning stuff, or jungle-inspired arrangements. We're going to stay inside Ableton stock devices for this, which is perfect because the workflow is fast and flexible. And the key idea is simple. Keep the sub stable, let the distortion happen deliberately, and make the automation musical. First, build a bass architecture that can actually survive distortion. Set up a bass group with separate layers. One track for the sub, one track for the mid-bass or res, and optionally one track or return for parallel distortion later. For the sub, use operator or wavetable. Keep it simple. A sine or near sine oscillator is ideal. Make it mono using utility with width set to 0%. Don't start throwing high-pass filters at the sub unless you really need to. Usually, the better move is just to make the note choice and envelope clean enough that the sub doesn't get messy in the first place. For the mid layer, go with something harmonically rich. A detuned saw-based res in wavetable works well, or a slightly detuned multi-oscillator patch in operator. On this layer, you can low pass somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz depending on the tone you want. Keep the attack short and the sustain stable enough that it can carry a rolling phrase. The reason for splitting sub and mid is huge. Once distortion enters the picture, the sub can smear very quickly. If the sub is separate, the top part can get aggressive while the low floor stays solid. Now write the bass line as a phrase, not just a loop. For advanced DNB, you want something with rhythm and intention. Don't just lay root notes on the grid and call it a day. Add syncopation, short rests, note length variation, and a little call and response between the low and mid register. Give the phrase a sense of direction, especially toward the end. A good starting shape is something like this. The first couple bars establish a repeating groove, then the next couple bars answer that groove with a small change, then a held note or a slight pitch movement creates tension, and the final bar sets up the turn. You can use velocity variation if your instrument responds to it. In wavetable, for example, map velocity or another modulation source to filter or wavetable position so the phrase feels alive. That little bit of movement helps the later distortion feel earned instead of pasted on. Here's the important teacher note. The bass line needs to feel like part of the drum conversation. If the phrase already has room around the snare and enough rhythmic identity, the turn will land way harder. Now let's build the clean to grit transition with automation. On the mid-bass track, drop in a chain with auto filter, saturator, maybe drum boss or roar if you want more modern aggression and utility at the end. Start gently. Set the auto filter low pass somewhere around 250. To 800 Hz depending on how bright the source is. Put saturator at around 2 to 5 dB of drive. If the tone likes it, enable soft clip. If you're using drum bus, keep the drive modest, maybe 5 to 15%. We want density first, destruction later. Now automate the transition over one or two bars. Let the filter open gradually and at the same time push the drive up. If you're using drum bus, automate the drive carefully and only touch boom if the low end can handle it. Utility can help here too. Keep the pre-turn image narrower, then let the distorted upper layer open up only when the turn hits. A really effective automation shape is this. One bar of clean and controlled tone, then a second bar where the cutoff rises and the drive starts to bite, then the final half bar where you accelerate the movement, maybe even with a quick snap or mute, before the downbeat. And here's a subtle but important coaching tip. Don't automate everything at the same rate. Let one parameter lead and another follow. For example, open the filter first, then push the drive a fraction later. That feels more organic, more like the bass is straining into the distortion instead of just jumping there. Next, resample the bass turn into audio. This is where the edit becomes real. Create an audio track and set it to resample, or route the bass bus into it. Record the transition section. I'd print at least 3 passes if possible. One clean, one with medium saturation, and one with it automation, pushed slightly further into aggression. Once recorded, slice out the best part of the turn and keep the strongest moment around the boundary. That's classic DNB workflow. Commit to audio, then shape the result. After resampling, use warp only if you need to. Keep transients natural if possible. EQ8 can clean up any ugly low rumble or harsh spikes. Auto filter can give the render one more motion pass. And if the turn has a really strong transient or growl, duplicate it and process the duplicate differently. That can become a call and response layer. Now let's shape the distorted version with parallel processing. This is where the bass starts to feel evolved instead of just overdriven. Make a return track or an audio effect rack with saturator, overdrive, possibly roar, EQ8, and utility. Keep the distortion focused above the sub. A good approach is to high pass the parallel chain around 80 to 120 Hz so the sub stays clean and authoritative. Try saturator drive around 6 to 10 dB, then use overdrive to emphasize the 200 to 600 Hz range if you want more growl. EQ any nasty low mid buildup and tame harsh top end if needed. Blend this under the main bass until the phrase gains menace without losing its foundation. Automate the send or dry wet amount so the parallel distortion is low in the clean section, then increases as the turn arrives, then drops slightly after the impact. That little decay in the effect keeps the whole thing from staying overcooked. Now we need a turn effect that connects to the drums. This is a big part of why these edits work in DNB. They don't just sound good in solo. They hit because they lock into the drum pattern. You can use beat repeat for a stutter, gate for a sharp choke, echo for a short tail, or redux if you want a bit of digital roughness. Keep it subtle. For beat repeat, try a 1-bar or half-bar interval, low chance, and a grid around a 16th or 32nd. For gate, use it to create a sharp cut before the drop. For echo, a short delay time and low feedback can give a nice tail on the last note. Use redux sparingly if you want that broken, bit-crushed texture. A strong arrangement move is this. In the last two beats, open the filter. In the last beat, add the stutter or a gate cut. Then on the downbeat, the distorted bass comes back with the full drums. That's a proper switch-up moment. Now check the low end carefully, because this is where advanced control really matters. Keep the sub mono. Keep it clean. Don't distort it directly unless you're doing a very specific effect. On the distorted layer, use EQ8 to cut boxiness around 150 to 300 Hz if needed, and tame harshness around 2 to 5 kHz if the tone gets tiring. If the kick and bass are fighting, use gentle compression on the bass bus. Slowish attack, medium release, and only a few dB of gain reduction. In DNB, you want big low-end energy, but not at the expense of kick and snare impact. Here is a useful mindset. Don't just think clean versus dirty. Think in energy tiers. A strong subweight edit usually has several audible states. Stable, strained, unstable, then impact. That progression is what makes the turn feel like a story. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is where a sound design trick becomes a proper musical idea. Put the turn where it changes the emotional energy. That could be the end of the first 16 bars before the full drop, bar 8 or bar 16 of a drop for switch up, or right after a breakdown, where the track needs to return to rhythm with force. A really effective shape is 8 bars of relatively clean bass and drums, then 2 bars of increasing filter and drive, then 1 bar with a fill, a bass stutter, and an impact, followed by 8 bars of the distorted variation. That gives the listener contrast, and contrast is what makes the heavy section feel heavy. Also, automate other elements, not just the bass. Slightly widen some noise or ambience before the turn. Automate a snare reverb send and then cut it hard. Pull the hats or tops back for a moment so the bass can dominate. These little arrangement moves make the turn feel like part of the record instead of an isolated effect. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, don't distort the sub directly. Keep that layer clean and mono, and distort the mid separately. Second, don't automate every parameter at once. Pick a few meaningful moves, like cutoff, drive, and stereo width. Third, don't widen the bass too early. Keep the pre-turn narrow and let the width open on the hit. Fourth, don't leave harsh distortion uncorrected. Eck it. Fifth, don't ignore the rhythm. If the turn doesn't land with a snare fill, break chop, or phrase boundary, it won't feel intentional. And sixth, don't let the bass fight the kick. Shorten notes if needed, and always check the low-end relationship in context. Now for a few pro tips if you want this darker and heavier. Try short filter automation ramps in the last beat, before the drop. A quick rise into a hard snapback can feel brutal. Add a very quiet noise layer behind the distorted turn, high passed heavily, just to make it feel wider and more expensive without bloating the low end. You can also automate utility width from 0 to maybe 50 or 80%, but only on the upper layer, so the opening feels controlled. For neuro-leaning movement, automate wave-eatable position, filter frequency, and drive together. And don't forget the drums. A tiny ghost note fill or break chop before the turn can make the whole thing lock in harder. If the bass sounds too polite, parallel roar or saturator with a high pass around 100 Hz can add aggression without stealing the floor. If it sounds too static, tiny pitch drift on the last note can make it feel like it's leaning into the turn. Keep that movement subtle, though. We want tension, not a synth going out of tune.